Ladies, have you been with men who said, I'm going to take a shortcut, and they just swerve off on some road? And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't work out, right? Julie has been with me, and she knows that I like to take back roads, or I like to explore. Sometimes I just wind up on a dead-end road. Like, okay, well, I guess we're not going this way, right? Like my friend Bill Shade that flew into a box canyon with an airplane and somehow lived because they had cut a chasm in the side of the mountain for mining. They were getting rocks out of the mountain, so he literally turned his airplane sideways and flew through that little narrow gap and lived. Amazing. Sometimes you wind up, the way you want to go is usually going to wind up dead end. I'm just telling you, you think it's the best, not the way God says is the best. And Abraham, even though he was unsaved, he heard the voice of God. He took the step, even if it didn't make sense to him, and he did it. God said, hey, Abram, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go somewhere that I'll tell you about. Go down to verse 3. Go somewhere. Go down to verse 4. Go down to one more verse. Genesis 12, 4. God tells him to go, and read the first three words with me. So Abram departed. Does it say Abram waited around? Abram posted a poll on Instagram to see what his friends thought he should do. Is that what he did? He departed. I love verbs. Verbs and faith go really well together. Do it. What I hope you see from our study today is that the narrower you make the gap between hearing what you're supposed to do, what God wants you to do, and doing it, the narrower you can make that gap, the better. God tells him, do it. He did it. That's what you want. You want there to be no gap. God says, do it. You do it. That's what faith is. Faith is believing God. So if God, the one who knows everything and has your best interest at heart, and is for you, and who died for you and rose again and ever lives to make intercession for you, and is coming back for you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the undisputed champion of all time, when he tells you to do something, when do you think the best time to do it is? Later. Think about it. Maybe 10 years from now, I'll consider that. But first, I have to go to college, and I have to do this. I first have to get in this relationship, or get out of this relationship, or first I have to get my kids back, or first I have to get whatever done. No. If God says do it, you do it right away. Abram did that. We're going to see the pattern of how he did that. Genesis chapter 22, we see him do it again. Starting in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said unto him, behold, here I am. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Isaac's about 13 years old approximately. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Didn't even tell him where he was going. This is the last time God spoke to Abraham. Spoke to him 7 times. We looked at the first. He said, go out of Ur of the Chaldees, and I'll show you where you're supposed to go. He packs up his bags. Can you imagine the Ryder truck, the U-Haul truck, backed up to his garage, and they're taking the last thing out, which is usually like a lamp to go into the minivan? You guys have been there. You know what I'm talking about, right? Carrying the shade separately so it doesn't get, you know, messed up when the kid kicks it from the car seat, right? And the neighbor comes over and says, hey, Abram, where are you going? It's like, I don't know. And the friend would be like, you idiot, why are you going somewhere you don't even know where you're going? Hey, calls the other neighbor over. Hey, look at old Abram, he's going, he doesn't even know where he's going. Don't be Abram. What an idiot. When you do what God says, it's going to seem illogical to the people that know you best. He didn't let it stop him the first time. He didn't let it stop him the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the fifth time, and now we see him in the 7th time. Hey, Abram, go take your very favorite thing and sacrifice him on a mountain that I'm going to tell you about. Whoa. What? You know what I'd have told? I'd been like trying to adjust the frequency on the radio, like I'd be smacking it. Like, I think I have something wrong here. Something. I'm going to get some Q-tips and clean my ears out. I thought I heard you say you wanted me to kill my son. Now, when it says he tempted Abraham, God can't tempt people to sin, but there is a principle in Scripture that God will always, he will try or allow the trial of our faith, and that is to refine it. Abraham had grown significantly between the time that God spoke with him first and God had spoken with him last. He made some egregious errors in the middle. He made some bad mistakes. Can I encourage you guys with this thought? No matter what mistakes you've made in your life, God loves you and has the next step ready for you when you're ready to take it. And I hope you're smart. And between hearing what God wants and doing it, you don't let there be any gap. You immediately do it. Abram was in a habit of immediately doing whatever God said. He knew God's voice, and he did it. I will tell you this, God's not going to ask you to kill your child. And if God tells, if you think God told you that, you're wrong. And don't quote me saying that you should do it from Scripture. God was asking Abram to do it. We're going to see the outcome of the story, and God didn't allow him to kill his son. He wanted to know if he was totally willing to do whatever he said. And it turns out he was. He passed the test with flying colors. But Abram made some mistakes along the way. Don't let Satan tell you that your mistakes have disqualified you from being used by the Lord. I'm so glad God allows the warts to be in Scripture so that we can see between Genesis 12 and Genesis 22 all the mistakes Abram, who became Abraham, made, and God still used him and still spoke to him. Okay, now this is just fantastic because we see that he did, what did he do in verse 3? Read it with me, the first line there. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. God spoke to him at night. How much of a gap was there between hearing what God said and doing it? I mean, none. Let's get up and do this thing. Do you think he wanted to do that? No. Do you think it made sense to him? No. Do you think it was more distasteful to Abram to hear, go kill your son, than it was to me to hear my pastor say, here's a bottle of bleach and here's a toilet brush? I'm not sure I want to take those from you, sir. He didn't actually hand me that, but that's what it felt like he was doing, right? I'm not sure I want those. Do you think it was more distasteful to say, here, wake up early in the morning and go kill your son? Do you think it was more distasteful? Yes, it was. Did he do it anyway? Yes, he did. You know why? Because Abram, who became Abraham, was smart enough to realize that what God said was more real than the things he could see. If you're going to be a person who walks by faith, who takes the next step that God asks you to take, you're going to need to be willing to do what Abram did. Do the thing that doesn't seem logical to you, that doesn't seem like the smartest thing to you. And we're going to see that throughout Scripture as we keep going here. Okay, so he rose up early in the morning, and he did it. And as they're going along, he asks, hey, Dad, so I'm carrying the wood for the sacrifice, but where's the lamb? And this I love in verse 8. It says, my son, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Now, how awesome is that? You need to know that he was the child of promise. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we say that together. This is Abraham with his son Isaac. Let's back up to the time that God promised that he would have a son and that he, through that son, would have more children than there are stars in the sky. Let's back up to that promise, okay? God spoke to him 7 times. Back up to one of the middle promises, and that would be in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Okay, so verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Hope you have your Bible with you. Hope you're taking notes. I'm taking my notebook to Israel because I'm going to take notes when I hear messages. Be a lifelong learner. Record what you learn, because the way our human brains are, you forget. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Can I tell you guys, God is for you. You can trust him. God will protect you and he'll reward you. I let Lacey out this morning, and some neighbor dogs I'd never seen came sprinting through our yard. They looked like Dobermans that were like Palomino horse color. Like, how does a Doberman look like that? I didn't know there were any of that color. But she weighs 2 pounds, and she was scared to death. She's like, "Daddy, what are those? I think they're going to eat me." And she came and stood between my feet. She's so small, she sits on my feet, you know. You think I'm going to let something happen to Lacey? I'm going to defend her. I'm going to be a shield for her. And I went over to those dogs, and they kept going because they realized, oh, there's somebody here. They wanted to come sniff Lacey or eat her because she was this fluffy bunny or whatever, right? There's not much meat there, I'd like to tell them. It's probably not worth chasing this little creature. Satan is gunning for you all the time. And he doesn't want, God is not going to let anything happen to you when you're walking by faith that isn't for your good. Now, you might have terrible, hard things happen to you, like Charlene Havranek has had a stroke and half of her skull is in a freezer waiting to be put back in. Or maybe you've gone through a lot of challenging times like Bobby. She showed me her surgery picture. Could you show that to somebody later if they want to see it? Do you have it with you? Unbelievable. That girl has more hardware in her ankle than the hardware store has in the back. Holy smokes. I've never seen that much hardware in one ankle. Screws going every different direction. Looks like a kid discovered his dad's Makita and had a whole 50-pound box of screws and a 2x4 that's about that big, and he put all the screws in from every angle. He says to Abram, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." You should be so excited that the God of the universe is providing direction for you to go forward. He wants to reward you for faith. He not only provides the guidance, but he provides the shield, the defense as you do it. I saw some pretty good defense yesterday during the Buckeyes game. Wow. Right? Go Bucks. You guys go back to Indiana. We'll put you in your place again next year. Goodbye. Right? God is your shield, but he wants to reward you. Imagine when you stand before the Lord and you're rewarded at the bema seat of Christ for all the things the steps of faith that you were scared to do, but you shakily put your foot out there because God said to, and then you put your weight on it. He's going to defend you as you do it, and then he's going to reward you. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Don't be timid. When God says do something, let there be no gap between hearing it and doing it. Put them together like Abram did. He rose up early in the morning. "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, so he had some guy, you know, that was his main employee, but he didn't have a child at the time. And so here he is. This is important for you to know. He was promised when he was 75 years old that he'd have a son. But here he is. He's not sure how old he is now. But we know he was 86 when Ishmael was born. So somewhere in the middle, God is coming to him and saying, "Hey, this is going to be true. I'm going to give you a child." And he's 100 when it happens. There's years between the God's promise and the delivery, and what he wants you to be is faithful in the meantime, doing what he says when he says it, without second guessing and without holding back. And everybody around you, the peer pressure is going to be to not do it, to not obey God, because everybody around you, they're not obeying God. When you obey God, you do it alone. Now, you might do it in the context of local church, but you're doing it alone. He says, "Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is it's Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Read with me verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We are saved by grace through faith, plus nothing the moment we believe what God says. God had been speaking to this guy for years. He still wasn't saved. But he, in this verse, got saved. He trusted that Christ died for his sins and rose again. He believed what God said. Since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when man fell right after the fall, God promised a coming Redeemer. And everybody who's ever been saved in the world was saved by what Christ did on a hill called Calvary. Abraham lived many years before the cross, before Christ, but out of his loins and Isaac's descendant came Jesus, the Messiah, who died on a cross, and it was by the blood that Abraham's descendant shed in Israel on the cross, Jesus, that Abraham was saved by simply believing what God said. Amazing. We already saw the last time God spoke to Abraham, he said, you go offer your son. And he said, I don't think so. No, he didn't say that. So we would all say. He said, okay, he rose up early in the morning and he did it. And when he got there, and his son is asking him, hey, Dad, so where's the sacrifice? And he said, the Lord's going to provide the sacrifice for us. And looking back at Genesis chapter 22, if you're in your Bible, flip to the right a couple chapters. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Or actually, let's go to 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. He has the knife in the air, ready to plunge it into the chest of his son. His son is bound on the altar. And right as, I believe, his knife was coming down, God stopped him, said, no, now I know you'll do anything I say. And the promise that the Father gave the Son, the Lord will provide Himself a lamb. They turn, and there's a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. And they go together and get the ram and offer him as the sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Do you know why God isn't providing for a lot of us in our lives? Because you aren't taking the step of faith that seems illogical to you, so you just won't do it. So you don't put God in a position to show up big time for you. I want to live a life of, and I hope you want to live a life of God showing up big time for you. But the only way for that to happen is for you to take steps of faith one after the other. You say this, okay, I'm going to keep my distance between hearing it and doing it, zero distance. I'm going to do it right away. Every time God spoke to Abraham, boom, he did it right away. If God's grace isn't showing up in a big Jehovah Jireh way in your life, check and see if the distance between hearing it and doing it is zero. Julius Printer and I aren't getting along. I have a printer in my office, but it doesn't work very good. It's old, and I'm trying to save as much money as I can for the church, so I don't use my printer very often because it has streaks on it and stuff. So I use Julie's because it's nicer. But lately it's been going to sleep on the network. And so I print something and it says, from my computer's perspective, it's already printed. I show up at the printer and it's not there. Somehow the thing is going to sleep and it stays asleep when there's a job coming. It's supposed to wake up when a job shows up and it doesn't do that. It's supposed to save power, go to sleep. But it's got one little guy watching. Or here comes the job. Everybody wake up and print this. And it stays asleep. So I've been trying to troubleshoot it. I looked online this week. There's 80 different things that could be wrong, like troubleshooting. I'm going to read some of them to you because I think this is pretty great. We're talking about you and your response to faith as we do this. Okay, so here's some of the errors. It's a brother. MFC L5900. Okay. My printed documents are incomplete or a blue screen appears when printing or using PC fax after a Windows 10 update. That's one of the troubleshooting items. You ever troubleshoot stuff? You ever look in the back of the manual and it's like, if it's not working, here's maybe what's wrong. Black lines down the page. Is that the problem? No. Smudges on printed pages. Toner specs. White lines across the page. Ghost. Hollow print. Possible solutions for print quality issues. The printout is out of alignment or the size of the printed document is reduced. Black spots at 90 millimeter intervals. So there could be a lot of things. There's literally 80 different things that could be wrong that people have identified with that printer. And you can go online and read them and maybe that's the problem. In your life, if faith doesn't seem to be working how it seems like it should be, there's really only two potential problems. Not 80 things on an internet site, two potential problems. Either you're not hearing what God is saying, or you're not doing it. I like it when stuff is simple. I'm not extremely mechanically inclined. I try. I make up with persistence what I lack in intelligence. I have to read 80 possibilities to figure out what is wrong with this stupid printer. But in your life, it's actually very, very simple. Either you're not hearing it or you're not doing it. There's not 80 variables. There's only two. If you're not putting yourself in a position to hear it, well, that could be the problem. If you're not at church every time you possibly can be, that could be the problem. If you're not in your Bible every day, that could be the problem. If you're not doing what God says immediately, I definitely check that. It's not complicated. This is not rocket science, y'all. Very, very simple to figure out what God wants you to do. The reason God kept talking to Abraham is because every time he talked to him, he listened and he immediately did it. Maybe God's not speaking to you very much because the last time he said something to you, you said, no, thank you. You tuned him out, you changed the channel, you got busy and ignored him for a while. Guess what? God's not down on you. Can I encourage you guys with this? Abraham's mistakes, and he made a lot of them, didn't disqualify him for being used by the Lord. Your mistakes haven't disqualified you. Wherever you are, God wants to use you. If you haven't trusted Christ, hear what God says. Christ died for your sins and rose again. The moment you trust him, you're saved forever. Now you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside. You have a solid connection with the God of the universe because the third member of the Trinity actually dwells inside you. Now you have the power to do the things that his word says. Now you have understanding. You have comfort. He's going to guide you into all truth. And now you actually have the ability, the umph, the power to actually do what he said. So stay willing. Stay eager. Be a quick obeyer. Don't wait to do it. Do it right away. I promise you, if you do this, it will make all the difference in the world. And can I tell you, as a church and as an individual, you have no future. You don't have a good future. You have a future, but it's not a good one. We've all got futures. We can make a much better future for ourselves and for others and for the glory of the Lord if we decide, I'm going to hear, I'm going to put myself in a position to hear, and I'm going to obey right away. You do that, God will turn the world upside down. He will give you so many things that it's not for you or about you. He will use you as a tool, as a blessing to the world that has no other hope. They need Jesus. They're in darkness. They're lost. They're going to hell. You can become part of God's plan by just simply taking by hearing it, listening carefully, and then doing it immediately. And then God will keep speaking to you. Through His Word, that's how He speaks to us. And He will guide you. And it'll be mind-blowing what God does in your life. That can happen to you. Yes, you. Don't think you're the exception here today. God wants to do this for you, in you, and through you. Imagine what would happen if all of us did that. Our church has a bright future to the extent that we as individuals hear and obey immediately whatever God says. He can't bless you unless you're doing that. A lot of people have a mistaken image of who God is. They think God is against them, trying to hurt them. And they might use as proof, one time God asked me to do something and it didn't seem logical to me at all. Take your son up in some mountain I'm going to show you and kill him. Man, I'm not following him. God might have told you to do something that you thought was illogical, but it was the most logical possible thing if you could see the big picture. One thing I know about you and me is that we do not see the big picture, but the one who does is giving you guidance. And who better to take direction from than the Ohio State coach on the sidelines that sees the whole picture? You might be focused on the guy on the line right in front of you, but the coach might call you over and say, hey, go around that guy. Oh, okay, because the coach sees the whole picture. God sees the whole picture. You should be going to Him for guidance. Listen carefully to what He says and immediately do it, and it'll just be a mind-bogglingly, amazingly much brighter future than you could ever imagine for yourself. I was imagining for myself a wildly successful financial future when somebody offered me a job as a janitor. And I'm like, I know one thing. Guys who clean toilets don't usually drive the latest sports cars. And that was a problem for me. My father-in-law passed away a year ago, March. My sweet mother-in-law gave us their car. I drive a nice Honda Accord. I didn't ever get the Italian sports car I was looking for, but I've got a really nice, reliable vehicle that we just use to drive to Illinois to help a church build a building. God is giving me exactly what I need as I keep obeying Him. And He will do the same for you. And if He doesn't, it's because you're not doing it. You're not participating. It's not because of Him. Don't blame Him. He's giving you guidance, and He wants you to immediately act on it. Hear and do. No gap. Hear and do. No gap. You do that, wow, wow, I can't imagine. 2 years ago, I was in the airport, and looked over and saw people going through line without a line. And I was waiting an hour to get through security. We're going to Israel tomorrow. They have the tightest security in the world. We're going to wait. We're going to be in security for hours. They're going to rip through every. They're going to open up every single thing and ask you about it. And some of the questions seem intimidating. Why do you need this? What is this here for? What does this cream do? I don't know. Ask my wife. I don't know. Anti-itch cream? I don't know what it is. They're going to ask all kinds of things. You think, like, what? You have no business. But they do, because their life depends on asking these questions. So I got tired of waiting in line. So I decided I am going to pay for TSA pre-check. I can't wait. I'm going to be that guy that skips the line. I'm going to be that guy. So I apply. I pay the $150 per person for me and Julie. That's a lot of money, but okay, it's good for 5 years. I'm hoping to go to India in February, and I can't wait to be the guy that just skips the line. I can't wait. I can't wait. COVID comes along. All the offices in the United States, except for 8 offices, shut down. And Illinois, Chicago, O'Hare is one of them, but you can only go to the office if you're returning from an international flight. Well, I haven't gone anywhere since COVID internationally, so I haven't been able to do it. They keep emailing me like faithfully every month or 6 weeks or so. Like, you could come on international flight and you could come complete your interview and you filled out all the paperwork and all these long forms and you just need to do a verbal interview and then you can be ready. So I scheduled an appointment in Columbus because there was a couple opportunities in Columbus right before COVID hit, and Julie and I were just tired from trying to get this preschool going, and she just, on a couple of Saturdays, she's like, honey, I just don't think I can do it. Okay, fine. So we missed a couple opportunities there. So fast forward a year and a half. This is 3 weeks ago. We're in Miami, and we're at the airport, and we have a couple hours before our flight leaves, and I said, honey, I think there's an office here. I'm going to go find out if we can get our interview done because I really want this thing. And we paid for it, and it's been a year and a half, and I think that they started the timer back then. So now we're 2 years into it, and now I only have 3 years left for what I paid, and I hate bad investments. I hate them. I want stuff to do what it promised to do, and then a whole bunch more. I don't ever want it to do less. I hate it if the timer is going, and it's costing me money, right? She, again, was tired, no problem, because I usually am, like, crazier than her, and like, okay, she's like, I'm going to have a coffee. I'm going to sit down here and have a coffee. You go find out if they're open, and if so, call me. I'll come. Literally, I think it's a mile inside the terminal down to find this office. I finally found, I walked by him 3 times. I finally found him. And I asked the guy, hey, can we have an interview? He's like, do you have an appointment? I said, no, but could we have an interview anyway? Because we're here. I'm happy to wait. Sure. I asked Julie to come. She comes. And it's like 20 minutes later. It's totally fine. But they could have taken us right then. So I was like, come on, let's go, girl. She gets there. We have to wait a while because we lost that opportunity in the queue. But finally, another opportunity comes up, and we go up there. And the guy says to Julie, I'm sorry, your time limit to do this expired last week. I'm sorry, you can sit down. I'm like, even though we paid for it, do we get our money back? No, it's your fault. You had opportunity to do it. I said, COVID. No, we extended the time a year for you, and you still didn't do it. Okay. I mean, you can't argue with a federal officer that's, you know, wearing body armor, and he's all officious in a federal office building. And of course, whatever you say, sir. She sits down, calls me up. He's looking through his files. He asks. He says, your background check got delayed. Okay. So yours is still good, but did you have an apple taken from you one time? I mean, I saw out of the blue. I mean, why would you ask me a question? Did I have an apple taken? I mean, I'm sure somebody took an apple from me one time. He said, one time when you were boarding a flight, security found an apple in your luggage. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, I can tell you the time and date that it happened. I said, if you say it happened, I'm sure it happened. If you know anything about me, you know how much I love apples. I got more. You want one? He said, sir, if I grant you this global entry pass and we find an apple in your luggage, it will be the most expensive apple you have ever tried to eat. Okay? Because we will count it as a second offense because we have you documented the time you did this before. And we are not going to go easy on you the next time. We're going to fine you $500 or $1,000 for that apple. Because we're trusting you to have better sense than to go through the fast line with stuff that you aren't supposed to have. Okay, I mean, at this point, I'm having like buyer's remorse. Like, I don't know. I mean, I really like apples, right? I really like apples. I'd rather they catch them in the slow line and not slap a fine on me. Now I'm taking my financial future in my hands when I go through the fast line. So a few days ago, when this global entry card showed up, I realized this thing is completely worthless to me. I want to be with all the people in the slow line because that's where all the people are that I love, and I'm just going to be with them talking to them. I'm not going to skip out on them. Oh, here I have it. So that's all, I mean, yay, I mean, I have it. Then I learned I was going to put it in my wallet this morning, and I realized it came in this little sleeve that is like an NFID shield. It's a little foil shield, so it won't even fit in my wallet. If you know anything about me, I like my wallet to be, this is the thinnest it's ever been. I keep taking things out of it, and I only have the bare minimum in there, so it's small. So for me to actually think about putting the global entry card in my wallet was like a pretty big step, but now I have to put it in a foil pack in my wallet, and that won't fit. That card, though, qualifies me to go anywhere in the world and skip the security line. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's go. My bag is packed. I'll take the apples out. I'm taking that bag to Israel tomorrow. I'll take the apples out unless you want to. I'll share them all with you too. But maybe your future is between something you want and something God wants to give you. God called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He said, go. He said, okay. God gave him entry to the whole world by leaving behind something he wanted. God wants to give you entry to a whole world that you didn't even know existed. But it will take leaving behind something you wanted. So the choice is yours every moment as you walk with the Lord. Do I want what I want, or do I want what He wants? God wants to make the world your oyster. It's not about you. It's not about giving you a fast car and a lot of money and a financial security. All the apostles except one died a martyr's death. If you follow the Lord, it will take you on a hard path, but it's a journey worth going on. Every path is hard. I'd rather be on a worthwhile hard path than a worthless hard path. Amen? If you, every moment, will choose, Lord, I'll take the global entry over what I want, God is going to do so crazy many things in your life that are so good. He's going to use you to bless so many people. Or you can just hang back and enjoy what it is you want and go nowhere. Christian, you have that choice every moment as you're walking with the Lord. Because every moment He's going to be calling you forward. We saw it happen 7 times in Abraham's life. Every time there was no gap between hearing and doing. But you might say, well, I really like this apple. Okay, stay home with your apple. Or you can let God take you places that are incredible, that will blow your own mind, because God's thoughts and ways are higher than our thoughts and ways. You haven't even imagined what God wants to do through you if you'll leave behind what you want and instead embrace what He wants to give you. Christ died for your sins and rose again. The moment you trust Him, you're saved forever. If you haven't trusted Him, please do it right now. That's the step of faith He's asking you to take. He wants to give you something huge and valuable and good, but you're going to have to leave behind thinking it has anything to do with your good works. Instead, accept that it is a free gift by grace. Let's read the words together right here. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You are saved the moment you realize you can't lift your little finger to save yourself. You know where Abraham went to sacrifice his son? Mount Moriah. We call it the Temple Mount today. We're going to see the stone that was likely the exact spot where this occurred, where his knife was raised, ready to plunge into the heart of his son. And instead, he said, God will provide Himself a lamb. You know where Calvary is located? Mount Moriah. You know who provided Himself a son? God the Father. You know who He did it for? You. You know what he died for? All of you. Let this hand represent you and me. This wallet represent all of our sin. He loves you. He hates your sin. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Mount Moriah, Calvary, for you, all of your sins, past, present, and future. He's perfect, has no sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The moment you believe, you take the step of faith, please let it be like this, like in Abraham's life. You hear the truth. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing, by what Jesus did on the cross. Choose to believe it. The moment you do that, you'll be saved forever. Please do it right now.